Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's with Chad Withrow and Paul Koharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. David Reed is the chairman of the board. Glad you're with us. John McClain, Clay Travis still to come today. Pleased to have in our studio former governor Phil Bredesen.
How are you?
Who has dropped by. Great to see you again. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, my pleasure. Is it odd that I don't know how to address you? I didn't know if I should say Governor Bredesen or obviously Mr. Bredesen is appropriate.
Is it governor forever?
Once you're
until
the governor.
You're president?
You know, I probably should study the protocol on that so I can get everybody straightened out. But I respond to "Hey, you."
I thought about that as you were coming. I'm like, how do I address this gentleman? Is it governor? Is it Mister? Is it the distinguished gentleman? I don't know.
Possibly soon, Senator Bredesen.
Yeah. We need help with these things on this show. Is what we're saying.
You probably could go to the UK or something where they've got all these elaborate titles.
Yeah.
All these
Sir, things, you know, Sir Bredesen.
Duke. The most glorious Duke of...
We'll call you the most glorious Duke of Nashville.
All right.
Well, you made our list of underrated sports figures of Nashville. We had a discussion a couple of weeks ago, and I believe he landed, number two on our list, Paul?
I think so. I don't remember who number one was.
I can go back and look.
For underrated?
Your influence on this city and the state in terms of the sports landscape is enormous. When you look at Titans and Predators here and see what has become of this metropolis in terms of 100 people moving here a day, we'd like to trim that number down a little bit because of traffic. But
if they don't bring cars with them, it's okay.
Yes, right. just walkers who live in these new condos downtown. What do you think back to the beginning? How key for your career was professional sports in Nashville?
I think, when I came in as mayor, which was 91, I mean, if you remember, downtown was just a disaster. I mean, there's nobody down there in the evening and stuff. And I thought the way to fix that was just to kind of get some civic furniture in place. And, the sports teams, we did the arena, first of all, really starting out as a music venue. That was the idea. You had to go to Murfreesboro to go to a big concert at that point. And it was built with that primarily in mind, with no thoughts of a sports team. In fact, I once talked about pro sports and people just made fun of me. It's just, it's not gonna happen. And after it was built, there started to be some interest. And I really came to see that, this is one of those things we need to have here. We compete for people and business with, Jacksonville and Denver and Indianapolis and Dallas and places like that. And these pro sports is an amenity that they have. And, it worked out well to get the Predators in. And then the Titans really were kind of an off the wall thing, but just called one day and we followed up on it. And after a lot of work, got it to work.
Here's why I think it's valid for you to be on the underrated list, because it's easy to look back right now in 2018 and say pro sports in Nashville is a no brainer. Mm-hmm. And we're already starting to talk about other pro sports teams moving in, which I'm sure we're going to get to in this discussion with you today. But that was not the case in 1991, as you said, when the process started with all of this. And it took a bit of a vision to see downtown Nashville as a place that could hold pro sports teams and have people going down there. You just mentioned it wasn't that popular of an idea at the time. When did it start to grow? With people that your vision, that what you were talking about, people said, okay, maybe this can work. Yeah.
I think what happened is, as I say, we started out with the idea of justifying it on concerts and that kind of thing and built it so it would work for that, but built it also that it would be attractive to pro sports, that it had the suites, for example, built into it and so on, that was important to them. And when we started out, I even stopped talking about pro sports because it was actually kind of ruining the argument. People were saying, well, that's why you're doing it. Let's forget it. The whole arena was not popular at the time. We did a poll, and 17% of the people in Nashville thought it was a good idea. So
they loved municipal.
It was
Think about that now, though. 17% of Nashvillians thought the arena was a good idea, which we couldn't do without today.
And after we got it built, though, we started to get some feelers from pro sports teams. And to be honest, a lot of them were doing it as a negotiating ploy with their own cities. But I think that's when people started to look around and say, well, you know, maybe this is not such a far-fetched idea.
I think the underrated part of the development of the arena is the downtown footprint, how you can walk to literally any big event downtown. How many different ideas were there about where to put the arena, where to build the stadium, and all of those things as it all came together?
There's actually only one idea about that. I mean, it would have been an easier sell out in a green field somewhere, you know, outside the city where I-something and I-something cross or something. And but, you know, the whole point of doing it is people are going to come to where it is, so where in the city do you want people to come? And the answer is downtown. What had happened is I'd gone around when I wanted to start doing this and talked with people in some other cities where they'd tried to build an arena and it was a failure. They didn't make it happen. And a common element in all those was that they didn't pick a site initially. And so people got arguing about a site. Everybody got involved and everybody's got a piece of land somewhere that they think would be perfect for it and this kind of thing. So I just sort of said, we're going to build an arena. You know, yes or no, the council get to say, but here's where it's going. We're not going to argue about the site. It's going right in the middle of downtown on this, you know, in this area. And I actually think picking that site and not letting us get into a debate over that was really key to getting the whole thing done.
Stadium similar?
Yeah, stadium was very similar, too. We had a similar issue. You know, if you remember what was over there, was piles of sand and a barge company and so on right across. And again, it would have been an easier sell on the stadium somewhere out in the, you know, somewhere outside the city. But, you know, I think in retrospect, it's perfect down there. You can, you know, walk across and enjoy downtown, go to a football game and you know, any of the many other things that happen in that stadium.
Phil Bredesen in studio with us. When Bud Adams first called you, did you think he was using Nashville as leverage for Houston?
I suspected that when he first called. And what we did is we got together and met. We had lunch together, which stretched out into the afternoon. And I finally said to him, I said, well, you know, we'll go down this road with you. But I want you to, if you'll sign an agreement that while we're trying to put it together, you won't negotiate with anybody else, including the city of Houston. And when he said, okay, I'll do that, that was when I thought, yeah, there actually may really be something here. And the more I found out about it, the more I found out he really was. He was mad at Houston over several things. He was genuinely interested in moving. And interestingly, we got along very well. You probably couldn't find two more different people. I mean, it's just very different people and stuff. And we just got along great and shared an interest in Western art, of all things, which was kind of the bonding thing originally for us and stuff. But I really came to like him, he and his wife, a lot. And we worked well together and got it done.
How did you find that you had that common interest? Did you see something when you met with him?
Over lunch, that lunch I was talking about, we were just talking about different kinds of things. And it was up here at a restaurant called the Wild Boar, not too far from here. I'm not
Midtown,
sure if it's still there
Midtown.
Or not. And we sat there had a long lunch and talked about various interests and stuff. He got on that and we got talking about it and bonded with that and then started talking football.
Paul, you made the joke about not too many people need to come into Nashville because of the traffic. I'm curious, when you look at growth versus what's reality for Nashville right now, now suddenly Major League Baseball is being talked about. How do you go about gauging that? What's good in terms of growth and what is, okay, let's hold back a little bit and be practical about what Nashville can handle right now?
I think with regard to sports teams, it's really important to figure out what you can support. I mean, toward the end of my time as mayor, I mean, there was a genuine, serious inquiry from Major League Baseball team. It was really interesting. And I pushed back. I didn't do it. I pushed back on it because I figured, you know, we're not that big of a market. And we got to, you know, I'd rather have two successful teams than three that were
Was it
struggling.
A team or a league at the time?
It was a team.
A team?
It was a team. No, I'm sorry.
but
I mean, it was a serious, I mean, we had a lot of credibility at that point. It was a serious kind of inquiry, but I just think it's important, you know, to not let your eyes get bigger than your stomach or whatever and be careful about that. So I think as you think about you know, a team, a baseball team, for example, in the future, I think the real question is just be really hard-nosed about, okay, are the advertising dollars, are the ticket sales really here to support that? Or are you just going to end up undercutting the two teams you have?
If it didn't make sense then, clearly it makes more sense now because sure. the size of the city.
Sure.
But does it make sense to you now when you look at it?
I would have to look at the numbers and stuff. one of the things that was really clear when I first got involved in these negotiations with the teams, and for example, in the case of the Titans, is, Bud wasn't so interested in the fan base and ticket sales because the assumption was, look, if you got an NFL team, you're going to sell tickets, and that revenue shared across the league anyway. What he was really interested in was suite sales, where he gets to keep the money, and advertising. And stuff. So when we pitched him on these things, it wasn't about trying to show the fan base. You know, it was about saying, let me introduce you to a bunch of people who are potential advertisers and talk to them and we engage their interests and so on. So I think you have to do the same thing today, which is understand the economics of what's important to a Major League Baseball team owner of the pieces, and then really get out there and find out, is that possible to do in Nashville today with the economy and so on.
Phil Bredesen, our guest. Who was the person that you reached out to for advice? Is there someone across the country that was in a similar position at some point that you were in then?
There were several people involved. There was a fellow named Dick Evans who was here, who was the number two guy out at Opryland. And his previous job had been, he ran Madison Square Garden, but I think the Rangers and stuff. So he knew about just the mechanics of these things. And he helped me a lot when we had an arena, but we're trying to position it to find a team to come into it, as to what kinds of, you know, how do you structure this? What kinds of things are they going to be interested in? What kind of revenues do they need to get, and so on? So that was a helpful piece. And then there were some business people in town. A guy named Denny Bottorff, who's still here and active, is a very good businessman and helped a lot with the business mechanics of understanding it.
He was the chairman of the renaming effort also, if I remember correctly.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
What I'm always curious when I look at somebody's resume dating back to college and I see someone who wound up a very successful politician was a physics major.
Statesman is the word you're
statesman.
Looking for.
Statesman,
not politician.
Thank you.
It's so reticent to you, Paul.
Statesman. I appreciate the correction. You were a physics major at Harvard.
Yeah.
So how did you take this path, and when's the last time you used physics in any big way?
I went from physics into working in computers and into that kind of in computers and healthcare, and then ended up starting my own company and so on. You know, I had not been interested in politics in high school, but it would be hard to be at Harvard in the late 60s and not, you know, sort of see politics and so on. That was the Vietnam War era and everything. I thought it was something I'd like to do at some point in my life. And then when I ended up selling the business I had, I didn't want to just, I'd seen a lot of people who had a little success and then they just do nothing else with their life but do the same thing over and over again. And so I just said, look, why don't I just, I've got some independence now and I've always wanted to do this and go out and do it. So I ran for mayor in 87 and lost, and then came back and ran in 91 and won.
I just want to say to our audience, for the share of our audience that hates me, which is pretty big, this is the man to blame, because if the Titans hadn't landed here, I wouldn't have landed here. And so, please address your complaints to at Phil Bredesen.
Yes, but don't let that influence your voting behavior.
I think you're in pretty good shape in my household.
How exhausting is running for office of anything?
It's exhausting, and to be honest, both physically and mentally. I mean, we're about to enter this season of 3 months when there's just going to be negative advertising all over the place. I mean, there's already billboards up this morning, they told me, and stuff. And, you know, that grind, I'm going to have to admit, that grinds at you a little bit. I'm used to it, but it still grinds at you. My son was younger when I ran for mayor and stuff. It bothered me a lot because I didn't want him to see that stuff. He's 35 now, and he doesn't care about it, but the days are long. You're traveling around and, you know, talking to people and going to rallies and meeting with people and so on. But one nice thing about it is, unlike some jobs where it's just, you know, it goes off to infinity with that. You know, come November 6th, it is over one way or another, and that kind of gives you the back of the strength to just put your head down and do it.
You're campaigning a lot on kind of civility, mm-hmm. In an era where so many people seem to not be interested in it. They want to take their side and argue and fight. So how do you win over the people who want civility, obviously, probably yeah. with you? How do you win over the people who are being uncivil, so to speak?
I'll tell you, I think, you know, I've traveled around the state a lot now, and obviously I spent a long time as governor doing the same thing. What I found in this past 6 months or so is I would say it isn't so much civility or not civility. People just want to get things done. I mean, they're just, whether you're super conservative or super liberal, people are saying, enough of this stuff. Let's just get some things done. And if there's anything that I think people remember about my governor's days or mayor's days, that was it. I mean, it was just, you know, you found a way to, we're sitting here talking about the sports. You found a way to get the arena built. You found a way to get the Predators here. You found a way to get the Titans here. I think a lot of people are looking for that. As an alternative to just constant incivility.
Do you think we've reached the apex of people just drawing a line in the sand and going on one side or the other, and it's going to start to go the other way if everything is cyclical? Are we starting to get back to a level of cooperation at some point? I know that's a big thing, yeah. Cooperation in order to get things done.
Yeah,
can we get back to that?
I hope so. I think it would be easiest if we had a president who really wanted to push that, and we've not. I'm including Obama and Bush and a lot are in there. I hope we can, because I think we've gotten off to a difficult place. I think the good news is that it's mostly a kind of a Washington or political insider thing. If you go talk to real people, they're much more nuanced in their views than that kind of stuff. I've talked to a lot of people about healthcare, for example, over these last few months and so on. And you can't even tell who's the Democrat and who's the Republican in those conversations, even though it's a very ideological, contentious kind of issue. That's where the hope lies, I think.
Former governor of Tennessee, Phil Bredesen, has been our guest in studio. Nice enough to drop by this morning. Thank you so much for the visit. This has been a very quick visit for us. I don't know if it was quick for you. This is the last stop of the morning for you, I think.
It is. We've been around paying our call on various people this morning and talking about this.
You have your schedule open for the rest of the day?
Well, no, not actually.
You're welcome to stick around and host the show if you want.
Oh, good. Well, this is, it's pretty interesting in here, and it looks kind of like the bridge of a battle cruiser or something.
Yeah, we've got a big desk. That's right. Not with great purpose. We really appreciate it. It's been a treat. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Good to be here.